Just a thought. We are living in a time when all hands have to be on deck. We have to be prepared and ready to fight against forces seeking to return us to a time when America was not for everyone. We must speak for ourselves while delivering a clear message to the world. No longer can we focus on just our own individual success. Those of us that have found or created a path must use every vehicle available to us to help others see the light. We must inspire those who are lost and demoralized. We must find a way to speak to each other while expressing our own opinions. People of color must use the internet to expand our reach beyond our communities and find solutions to the issues that plague our neighborhoods. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections need you to schedule some time to share your opinions on live radio. My show wants you to carry your message beyond just a few city blocks. We want you to know that your personal issues and economic concerns and life beliefs are important to the world. I am the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, James C. Deshaies, and we want you to be a part of this new movement. We want you to be ready and prepared to share your opinions with everyone throughout our hour and a half long show, 7 days a week. Please call into the show every day, 657-383-0309, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Your voice needs to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. We must raise sand in a way that serves notice. A movement is coming. White America will share the bounty that is created from the investment of the past, present, and future from this day forth. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com, and I look forward to you calling into the show every day.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm glad to be here, and I look forward to us discussing some of the topics that are hitting the airways and giving our opinions about what's going on and what our thoughts are related to the different topics. I'm going to take a short break as we wait for everybody to get called on, and then we'll go into today's topic.
We're gonna make it. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, I want to talk today about our justice system and go back in time and talk about a particular case. And I want to give everybody the information on the case that's on the line. And so we're still waiting for some people. So I'm just going to carry on the conversation right now. Dee, how are things going with you this evening, Dee?
Everything's well, big guy. How about yourself?
Everything's going along fine. There's so much news all over the place. But I want to go back in time and talk about something. I'm giving a few more people a little bit time to go, get on the line before we go back. I see that Joyce is on the line. How you doing this evening, Joyce?
Hi. I'm doing great. Hi, Dee.
Hey, Ms. Joyce. How are you, dear?
We're good, thank
George,
you.
How's the weather out there in Arizona?
It's cold in the morning. It's been raining, but now it's trying to clear up, so I'm hoping the sun will come out.
Okay. Joyce, you and I and Dee are on the phone, on the lines right now, and we're going ahead and get this conversation started. I see Kathy is in there with us. And
hi, Kathy.
I'm gonna go back and back in time a little bit to a case that really hurt my heart, and I'm not sure how many of you remember the case, but I think we need to just talk about it in retrospect related to our justice system and how it works and how people think about different things. And I'm talking about the Kathy Anthony. The Casey Anthony case, it's been 5 years ago. I think it was 2011. And here we have a woman who has a little girl. The little girl was about 2 or 3 years old of age. She would be 11 now. So this little girl's mother, for nearly a whole month for 30 days or more, kept her away from her grandmother. And so her grandmother interceded and just demanded that Casey Anthony bring this child back, you know, let her see her grandchild. And the grandmother was so distraught that she called the police, because there were some issues with Casey Anthony's car and that she thought she smelled dead flesh, was what originally was stated. Then they tried to change it to it was just garbage. And after that time, they arrested Casey Anthony because she couldn't come up with her little girl. I mean, her girl was missing. Nobody had seen her girl, the daughter, for a whole month. And each time the mother would call her, she would claim that the daughter was somewhere and couldn't be talked to. They were at the park, or they were at an amusement park. They were in Jacksonville. Just all kind of excuses. And they saw her a number of times in some stores and at parties, just having a great time during these 30 days. And so it was a situation where how can a mother not know where her child is, a child that young, for 30 days, lie to the grandmother about where this child is? This child turns up, her remains turns up, several yards, maybe 20 or 30 yards, outside of the parents' house in a wooded area, and she being found not guilty. And what bothered me about the whole case was, what mother doesn't know where her child is for 30 days, lies about where her child is videotaped in different places without the child, never buying anything for the child during the time for these videotapes, making you assume that she already knows the child is dead. And so I ask you, you know, as we talk about our justice system, and some people suggest that we have a justice system is the best in the world, how it is that this mother, you know, the people on this jury, how could they even come to this conclusion? If you're lying about where the child is and the child is dead, how can you be found not guilty? That still bothers me to this day. I just don't understand. It would have been a hung jury if I was on the jury, because I could not get past that. I could not find a mother innocent of her child's death if she lied about where her child was throughout the 30-day period that nobody knew where the child was. And so I just, you know, today the judge, Judge Perry, who's a black judge here in Orlando, was asked what he thought his opinion was, and he suggested that he thought that Casey Anthony accidentally put chlorophyll over her daughter's mouth to put her to sleep so that she could go party, and she accidentally killed the child. And that was his opinion. And there are a lot of people who say that he should not have made his opinion public 5 years later, even though there's some people who've written about, some of the lawyers have written about the case and earned money on the case. They said he should have remained quiet. Dee, you were the first one in today. Do you remember this case 5 years ago?
Yeah, James, I do remember that case, and it wasn't until yesterday that I was informed that about the chloroform being used in the incident. And, you know, don't want to ever intentionally bring race into a conversation unless it's warranted to do so. And so your question was, how could something like this happen? Especially, how could a acquittal be the end result of such a tragic incident? And so, I'm not really sure of the race of the mother, but from listening to the name of that person, I would assume that she's Caucasian. Is that right?
She is white.
Yeah. So, you know, I can't fathom how anything like that could have happened in the result of a acquittal. But I say that to say this: had that person been a black mother, that acquittal would not even been in the question.
And I believe you're right. I believe that, you know, we always go back to that and say, you know, people say you're always playing the race card. But I just can't understand, how do you get beyond, and I hope that somebody on the panel will be able to tell me, but how do you get beyond the fact that she lied for 30 days? I couldn't, unless she could explain to me why she lied about where her child was. Initially she said her child was kidnapped. She kept lying. And she said she took the child to the babysitter, and she gave a fictitious name, and found the lady with that name. And nothing collaborated. Every time the police talked to her, her story was falling apart. So I'm just asking everybody, as we revisit this and reflect on it, how does a jury get beyond a mother lying about where her child is for 30 days? Joyce, what are your thoughts about that? Are you there, Joyce?
I'm sorry. I had you on mute.
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, I don't think that she was a mother. She may have had a kid, true enough, but no mother would do that, for number one. And number two, the law, it just shows you what our justice system is all about and who it represents and what they do. We have a situation here in Arizona. It's been going on for some time. It was a black young lady. Her daughter was missing, and they haven't found the little girl, and they're trying to say that they think that the mother had put her in a dumpster. So they did all of that. They pulled up all the dumpsters. They went to all they dumped the dumpster for months, but they haven't been able to find. But she's in prison for life, you see, without even a body being found. So it's just that she's black, and the community thought, and she was a welfare mother, more or less. So, you know, the justice is what it is, that what you can get away with, because justice is not always the right thing. Look what is going on with your attorney general. You know, you got a person who lied that he did not speak and talk with Russia, but he did. So how can he be the attorney general where he has to be over people who have to tell the truth, and he has to be the person who make that call when he can't even make that call? This is the society that we're living in, you know. So that was not a mother. It was just a kid who had a baby who didn't want to have that lifestyle of being responsible for responsibilities. And then it was wrong of the system, the justice system, to even let her get away with it. Really sad. That's what I have
to
say.
Well, Joyce, let me ask you, and I want everybody on the panel who speaks, I want you to just tell me, how can a mother not know where her child is for 30 days? She's not the one that goes to the police. How can that mother then claim that she's not responsible for the death of this child when she lied about where her child was for 30 days? I mean, how could you get past that as a jury? How can you ignore that this woman did that?
What state are we talking about? Where did this happen?
This was Florida. It happened in Florida.
Okay. So, you know, I look at Florida just like being in a southern state where they really, but it's a big state, but Florida just, you know, I'm looking at Florida now. Florida's not like a California state. So, I don't know. It's just sad that, I say, in the end, it's not a mother. That was not a mother. Think about it. A mother wouldn't do that. A mother would know where her child is. A mother would protect her child. You know, this is a young kid. And I think, isn't there some more to that story where she wanted, she was dating this one guy and he rejected her, and then that's when she did the partying too? Is that the one?
Well, part of it was she liked going out and partying. She was a young girl who enjoyed going out and partying, and this, her daughter was putting a damper on her freedom. Now, there was not established a boyfriend who may have been involved, but it was established that she enjoyed going out, and that might have been the reason why she used the chlorophyll, was to knock the little girl out. Kathy, what are your thoughts? Kathy, do you remember this case? Are you there, Kathy? I see Audrey from California. Audrey from California, would you like to chime in on this right now? Or?
Yes, I would. I vaguely remember the case. I agree with everything Joyce said. Now, when you said the state was Florida, I mean, oh, my God, the first thing I thought about was Trayvon Martin. You guys got some really weird laws down there that where I live, they wouldn't work. You
which
know,
country?
I don't think the lady was a mother. My one question would be, did she get out for psychological reasons? Because that's the card that they play a lot.
Well, no, she wasn't. It wasn't psychological. She was found not guilty because they felt as though the state did not prove its case. But what I'm asking, what would the state need to prove to you if a mother was lying about where her child was? I can't get past that. I'm saying I cannot get past the fact that you lied for 30 days. We know when your child was dead, and you continued to lie about where your child was. To me, that shows guilt, doesn't it?
Yeah, to me too. But in your state, I think a lot depends upon ethnicity. Again, Trayvon Martin being a prime example. You know, so they can make the system work the way they want to make it work.
Exactly.
If that had been a black woman, she would have went to trial one day, maybe two, and she'd have been in a clinker.
Gas chamber.
Okay, exactly. Now, I don't know if Regina is on the line or not, but I want to go back to yesterday when we were talking about insurance. That's going to be part of the problem. Different state has different rules, and that's why you can't cross the line and go over and buy, unless a lot of things are worked on and undone, and it would take years.
Well, one of the things
I only brought that up because of the different state, and by that being in Florida and seeing how Florida operates.
Well, we have another case, and I'm just talking to, you know, I want us to talk about the justice system and the kinds of things. We have another case where that's going on, and it's we're not sure how this case is going to end up, but a white police officer, former police officer, a former chief of police, shot a man because he was on his cell phone. And, you know, we have this law about, you know, that you, if you feel your life is threatened, you can use deadly force if you feel your life is threatened. So he shot this man because he and the man got in an argument about him using his cell phone even before the movie started. So the movie hadn't even started, and the man was just calling or texting home to see how his daughter was, see if everything was all right with the babysitter. The gentleman became irate about him using his phone. Supposedly, the man threw popcorn at him, and he shot the man and killed him.
James, can I please comment on that?
Okay.
Look, James, what you're talking about there is a law that Florida is well and proud of, and that is the Stand Your Ground law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you what's going on with that right there. You know that white America has a love affair with guns.
Yes, they do.
And that's one of the rights that they want to stand by all the time. But here's my argument. You know, with all these guns that they buy, the assault weapons and the banana clips and all this, that, and the other, and they always want to claim that it's for either protection, home protection, or for hunting. But here's the argument that I always want to pose. You know, with all those guns that you got in the house, target practice get a little damn boring. So always shooting at a target, it get quite boring. So when you got a law like Stand Your Ground law, they will antagonize a situation so they can shoot your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, and I'm telling you, I said from the very jump street, that's what happened to Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
The boy was unarmed and everything, and this guy went and told the 911 operator, "I'm going at him," because they always strapped and guns. See, and this is the thing about black people, why they can't own guns. Because, first of all, they won't buy them legitimately, and they always got them when they ain't supposed to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they can't never get guns. But the other side of the coin, they got guns coming out of the gazoo. And I'm telling you, target practice get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So the Stand Your Ground law is a law. Look, after the Trayvon Martin situation, I ran into a couple of people with Florida tags. And for no reason, flat, they tried to provoke me into an altercation. For no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is, see, I'm an older gentleman. Mm-hmm. And so when you see BS like this, you know, when you've been around like Audrey and George and I have, we have seen this kind of crap before.
Hello.
And so that's when you know that when you see it again, that go that BS right there. And
mm-hmm.
so the stand your ground law is a law made for them to get off scot-free when they shoot somebody. Thank you,
exactly.
James. I appreciate it. I had to get it off my chair.
Go ahead, George.
He's the type of guy who does not take authority because, I guess, of his high position that he used to have before he was retired. So when he says something, he expects for it to happen the way that, you know, sit down, shut up, get off your phone type of thing. And the picture did show this morning on television, I think, on Good Morning America, where they show where the dude was standing up in some popcorn. But to me, there's still no reason. I mean, everybody's so trigger happy nowadays. And, you know, here in Arizona, it's a little scary, but, you know, by law, you can pack, but it has to be visible. You know, it has to be in a holster. It has to be visible. So you know what a person got, you know, on them. But it looked like in Florida, you don't know what you got in your pants until you draw it out and shoot somebody.
Well, that's, you know, again, those are the decisions made state to state. Audre was saying, is that, you know, you have to conceal your weapon in Florida. You can get a permission to carry a weapon, but it has to be concealed. And maybe less people would get shot if those weapons weren't concealed. But, you know, I think that you're right. We do have some issues in the state of Florida with our justice system and with the system that allows people to carry weapons and stand your ground. I think it's just a way of who can determine what amount of fear you have at the time you use your weapon. You can suggest that you were scared. That doesn't have to be the case. Just like you said, you just might want to shoot somebody. And certainly, Zimmerman was going looking for trouble. And I do believe that you can't confront teenagers like that no more. You know, when you're a teenager, your hands are fast, you are quick. And I believe Trayvon got the best of him, and he shot Trayvon. Now, the fact is he shouldn't even follow him because the lady told him to stay in his truck. And to me,
yeah.
After a police officer or someone working for the police department give you a directive, then you're responsible for everything that happens after that directive. She told him not to follow Trayvon.
And he was acquitted.
What? And the more you think about it, Dee, you are exactly right, because to me, if it wasn't Trayvon, somebody was going to get shot that night, because he was a hunter looking for a prey.
That's right.
I guarantee you, if it wasn't Trayvon, it would have been some kid or someone that night that was going to get shot that night.
He was looking for altercations. That's right.
Yes. Yes, he was.
And the issue may very well be, as we talk about Casey Anthony, though, I'm still asking you guys, and we've got a number of other people who popped on. I'm just saying to you, if a mother does not report her child missing for 30 days, how can a jury or a person on the jury overlook the fact that she must be involved in some kind of way in the disappearance of that child when you lie about where that child was for over 30 days? To be honest with you, if I would have been on that jury, I wouldn't have needed any more information than that, because to me, you don't lie about where your child is. And the first person who's supposed to be calling to say that their child missing is the mother, not the grandmother. Regina, what are your thoughts? Did you hear enough to talk about this case? We're talking about the Casey Anthony case in Orlando. a judge has come out and said that he thinks that Casey Anthony accidentally killed her child by giving her too much chlorophyll, and he's catching a little bit of flack for making this statement. What are your thoughts related to do you believe a mother honestly can suggest she doesn't know what happened to her child when she didn't report her child missing for 30 days?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't second guess what I don't know what I would do. It depends on how, you know, if she did accidentally kill the child, it depends on whether it was in, you know, the heat of disciplining the child or what, or her reasoning for being scared. So in this case, I really don't know, because, you know, I would hope that I would call the police immediately if something happened to my child during the process of disciplining the child. But would I be scared? I don't know. I can't give an intelligent.
Well, Regina, what I want you to give me your opinion on, if you are a jurist and you hear that a grandmother has been calling her daughter 3 or 4 or 5 different times asking where her grandchild is, and the daughter continues to make excuses about where the grandchild is, not bringing the grandchild to see the grandmother, the grandmother is the one who finally calls the police. I'm saying to you, if a mother is lying about where her child is, how, as a jury or a jurist, could you overlook the fact that she must be responsible for that child's death? How could it be otherwise?
I could not overlook that. Either she is responsible for the death or she's responsible for that child's continued disappearance. Either way, she is guilty of not allowing that child to be free or holding something that's going to keep that child safe, holding something back. So either way, she's going to be guilty, and the longer she held on to that lie, the worse it got. If
because
indeed,
initially, she said that she took her child to a babysitter, and the babysitter never returned the child. They found out there was no babysitter.
Right.
So she continued to lie about where the child was until they eventually found the remains of the child. So my deal is, for 30 days, you lied about this child's welfare. If somebody kidnapped your child, you would call the police and say, hey, my child has been kidnapped. I don't know where my child is. Okay? That's what you do in a few hours. So how do you go 30 days and the only one who's concerned about where your child is his grandmother?
Well, actually, that is what you would do within a few minutes if you know where your child is supposed to be and your child's not dead.
And so I think it lends a lot to itself that when Dee makes the statement, and a few people have agreed with it, that had it been a black female who had lied about where their child was for 30 days, that there would be no doubt that a jury would come back guilty. And I think I agree with him. I think we still have a system.
I totally agree. There is a severe double standard here in the United States, and I totally agree with what he said.
Joyce, what your thoughts? How do we get beyond that when we seem so adamant about the fact that there are white people in our society who are getting away with murder, and under the similar circumstances? Listen, I can tell you for sure, if I went into a white mixed neighborhood and I pulled out a gun and shot a white child called Trayvon Martin, I couldn't use the stand your ground law.
Not at all.
Even in
not
Florida,
at all.
That's true. You said it. That's the correctly. That's because of who you are. You got to realize that most of the laws and the laws that are out there, they're not really actually for you. They're against you. And like Audrey said, the law is anything that the people in power want it to be. The more power you have, the law is twisted. I mean, it's all the way from the top, and we saw that today, all the way to the top. You know, they lie. They born to lie. They get away with it. You tell a lie. You remember it used to be, you know, you get killed or shot just for looking at a person the wrong way. And don't let them say that you said something to them. Your ass is going to prison for years on something that you didn't even do. And then they have remorse a couple years later, but you have spent your lifetime in prison, incarcerated. You know, it's just the system itself is not fair. You know, it's a battle. It's a battle. I'm going through a legal situation here in Arizona, and I'm taking my case all the way to the Supreme Court, which later I might want to share. And I'm anxious to hear your situation, Regina, today. But the deal is that when I went to file, I'm looking at the wall. There's nobody, a judge on that wall, that can identify with me and my situation. They all are white, and then they're female. There's two females, and then the rest of my white male judges. Now, me personally, I prefer to have a male judge, white. But here, I got a white, and she didn't even look at my case, and it forces me to take it up to a higher level. So justice is not always fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. But what we do, what I'm doing is just praying and just putting it in God's hand. I can do so much, but he's going to have to, he has to lead it to victory. You see, it's not right. But that's the world that we live in. What can we do about it? Try to put the right people in leadership. And sometimes when we do put people in leadership who we think that they are going to do right, they turn and they go on ego trips. You know what I mean?
All right, let me take our first break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
For the rest of our years,
James C. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, I want to just talk about the fact that, you know, we talk about how unfair the laws are and how it impacts our lives. And I think you're so right in that we're not given that the laws can be made, but can African Americans take advantage of those same laws and feel those same protections? You know, we have the right to carry arms, but the fact is that I already know that my life is in jeopardy by those people who might want to rob me. But is my life greater in jeopardy if I have a gun and the police stop me? And so that's one of the things I concern myself with when I think about the possibility of carrying a weapon. But in terms of our justice system, it seems that the justice system is not blind. There are a lot of situations that African Americans could never be found innocent of if the same set of circumstances existed for them as in white individuals. Now, when I look at this case with the former chief of police who shot down another white man who was with his wife, and I think it's right when we state that he is so used to people following his rules that when someone stood up to him and then disrespected him by possibly throwing popcorn in his face, he just got mad and he shot that man. And I don't even understand how we're going through this process of stand your ground where they might possibly side with him and not even take him to trial. There is no one who has spoken up for him other than his wife to suggest that what he did was warranted and that they felt like that man was going to jump over that seat and attack him. But yet, he has put this forth. And again, if we turn the situation around and a black man had shot a white man in a movie theater, it would be an open and shut case. Kathy, are you with us? Would you like to talk today?
I'm with you, but I'm really sick, so I just really want to listen. If you guys don't mind, I'm coughing and sneezing, but I did want to be a part of the show, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right.
Audrey, your thoughts about that. I mean, why is justice still in 2017 still not blind? Joyce, are you there? Audrey, why do you feel
Have you guys ever heard this before? Sometimes when it comes down to the penalty of certain individuals, it's not justice, it's just us, meaning black. And I'm sure you guys have heard that before, haven't you? Not justice,
yes,
just
yes,
us. And so that's just the way it is. And with the new governmental people that we have into place, it's going to even get worse. Because you know what? Before Donald Trump came on the scene, white people were hiding. Now they think that because he's out there running his mouth, he's given them an open forum that they can say what they want to say. But what's going to happen is that they're going to open up their mouth on a big can of whip-a, you know, listening to him, and they're going to be in a world of trouble. I live in Orange County, which is probably almost 2% black. I'll tell you, I think my neighbor is a KKK, and she's 33 years old. She doesn't know black people use lotion. She said that Michael Brown got what he deserved because he was a hoodlum. You know, and
right.
She just thinks that she has an open forum.
Wow, you need to move.
No, she don't. But did,
no,
but
don't
did she
move.
Tell you that you different? Did she tell you you different and you're not like him? You're not like the rest of the blacks? Did she tell you that?
That's probably going to come. I don't talk to her right now.
Well, that's going to be, that's what she's going to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I think
I'm not going to move. I love Orange County. I like where I live. But there are going to be idiots no matter where you live.
James, can I ask a question? What would you
have done
if somebody stood up and threw popcorn in your face?
Well, had that happened to me, you know, we have to question ourselves all the time about what we're going to do in different situations so we can be prepared. I may have grabbed that person, or I may have, if I had a soda, throw the soda in their face.
Right.
But I wouldn't have pulled out a pistol. Popcorn don't warrant that.
Right.
The other thing is, you have to be careful about carrying a pistol because, see, people who are normally docile become aggressive when they have a gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a man who won't open his mouth will start yelling if he got a gun. You know, so people who carry guns, I'm not saying that they're not strong men who carry guns. I'm just saying to you, people act a lot different when they're carrying a weapon than they do when they're unarmed. And throwing popcorn in somebody's face does not rise to the level that requires you to shoot them. And so,
your comment.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. James, you're absolutely right. And, you know, when these companies are, when your state, before your state allow you to get a gun, what they should do is up the ante to a psychological evaluation of a person before they sell them these guns. I think if they were to do that, and I don't know if the NRA, the National Rifle Association, have so much of an influence in today's society where an extensive psychological evaluation is not even warranted before you can get a gun. Because I think if they did that, a lot of these people won't be even carrying guns. All right, my daddy used to say to me, if you carry a gun, you'll find a reason to use it. So, but I want to say something real quick about something that we said. I had to sign off for a minute because I was in an environment that's going to be noisy. You know, we spent all the month of February talking about how we should try to get other people to love the way we love. Also, we spent a lot of time protecting our rights and the rights of other human beings in here in the United States. We spent a lot of time trying to protect the Constitution of the United States. But when we have issues like the way the justice system turned their back on us, people of color, and when they give favoritism to people that are not of color, it makes you wonder, you know, the persons that wrote the constitutions, all of those people were slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder, was the constitution written to keep in having people of color in mind? Because
no.
We spent a lot of time trying to protect the constitution, just trying to show everybody that we are willing to be Americans just like you are. But, you know, I tell you, more time than not, when it comes down to it's just as blind, it seemed to be blind to people of color.
That's
whereas we can't seem to get a fair shake. You know, and getting back to the girl, her lawyer, I'd like to know what kind of lawyer she had because I believe that her lawyer was the one that got her off. And, you know, Johnny Cochran said it best. He said that the color of justice is green.
That's right. That's true.
Thank you.
That's true.
Well, it was a case. He actually took the case and he put together a team. But again, you're right. See, that's another thing. When a white case becomes nationally unknown, you have people who want that notoriety and they put together a team that this girl could not afford. This was a young girl who could not, she actually had three or four lawyers on her team. But they took the case because it was so nationally known that they knew they were going to reap the benefits from being known around the world for getting her off.
That's called pro bono.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't get paid, but they will be paid now because people are going to want them.
So from here
right.
on, huh?
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying to you. Now, who would have came to the aid of a 20, 23 or 24-year-old black female who had no income?
Nobody. Nobody.
She would have had to go get a public defender for her lawyer.
And in Florida, I don't know about anywhere else, they don't call them public defenders. They call them public pretenders.
That's right.
That sounds fair.
Hello.
That sounds like a good assessment.
That's a good name for them.
That's right.
And you have to ask yourself, when a person, you know, you get a public defender, they don't have many resources. They can't go get you any, you know, it's like pulling teeth to get any money to get anybody on your side to do the scientific evaluation. And so you are left with whatever the state chooses to give you as revenue, so you can't hire a private investigator. You can't do your own science work. And so you're left at the mercy of this one individual. And in some cases, the public defender goes and see his client maybe once or twice before the trial.
Are
him so
you out?
Yeah, he's friends with the state attorney. They hang out, they drink together, they buddies.
Same with the judges
so
too.
If you don't
they
have
all
any
drinking
money, if you don't have any money, like D said, you in bad shape.
That's true.
All right, we have 30 minutes left. We're going to go on another break, and then we're going to come back and continue our conversation related to the justice system and what we feel about where we are in this whole situation.
I am this woman. I am this woman. That has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all
that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to ask all of you out there in the sound of my voice to visit my website on www.jamestdeshay.com. That's www.jamestdeshay.com. I also want you to email me at djames82@AOL.com. Write me and let me know what kind of issues you'd like to talk about on our show. We have a daily show, and we want to talk about all the things that impact our lives now and in the future. I want to ask you guys, Audrey, you brought up a point. Audrey in California, you brought up a point about your neighbor. I want to know what you think about this situation. There was a black female who went out to her car, and her neighbor had left a racist note and rant on her car and said some very ugly things, at which point the black female went to the neighbor, asked her to come outside, and, you know, so they could further discuss what she had, the note that she had left on her neighbor's car. The neighbor refused to come outside, so the young lady started throwing rocks through her window and broke quite a few of the windows with little or no concern about the legality of what she was doing. The neighbor never did come outside. But, I mean, these are the kinds of things, you know, people don't understand. You need to be real careful about who you let know that you're a racist. Because some people are not willing to accept your racism and go on about their business. So, you know, we're living in a country right now that is divided, where you have a lot of Jewish cemeteries being destroyed by people who are unhappy with Jewish individuals. You have a lot of white Americans who think they can express themselves in very racist ways and manners. And so, you know, I wanted to get your thought on where you think we're going as a nation, and will President Trump be able to bring us together as we see all these new stories related to racial conflict? Audrey from California?
Well, Donald Trump is part of the reason why all the freaks are coming out right now. Because, you know, because the way he talks to America and talk to people, they think that they have the same rights. You know, it's just like the case that you were talking about, the policeman, whoever shoot this man at the movies. That man still thinks that he has the same power. He's retired, right?
Yes, he's retired.
Yeah, he's retired. So he still thinks that he's got the same power and still got the same good old boys on his side, where he could do just as he did probably when he was active policeman. He's probably a dirty cop. Think about it. Gentleman probably was a dirty cop, and now he's a dirty retired cop. But Donald Trump is part of the reason why these people think that they can be vocal, like my neighbor. You know, they can be vocal and say what they want to say. Now, excuse me, when I share that with a couple people, I'm 65, she's 32, 33, they asked me, did you leave the bitch standing up? You know, that's what I guess they wanted me, because she has, I guess they figured she was has no right to say stuff like that. But people don't know what to say now. They think they can be vocal and say whatever they want to say. And you can see more evidence of white power, more 2016, 2017, than you did the whole Obama regime. Because they're just coming out. They think they can do what they want to do. They think they can say what they want to say. And it's so sad that because of somebody's pigmentation in their skin, they think that they're better than someone else. And that's really sad.
Yeah, and you're so right. And I don't see it getting any better anytime soon.
It's just, like they say, it's going to be on and cracking. Well, it's about to get on and cracking.
Andre, from Florida, how are you doing this evening? Hello?
Hello.
How are you doing this evening, Ms. Andre?
Not too bad, thank you.
All right, I'm going to have to get you that clock because I know you and time just ain't got no relationship. But that's all right. I'm glad you're here with us.
I figure you would be glad for me to take all the extra effort of making sure that I'm on tonight's call. Thank you.
So have you heard any of the things that we've been discussing?
No, I just dialed in, I'm not aware of the conversation tonight. So I'll be happy to just listen for the remainder of the evening.
Well, I'm going to pull you into it, even though you say that. Did you hear about the judge making a statement about the Casey Anthony case? And what I want to ask you, if you were a juror, how could you have gotten past the fact that Casey Anthony did not alert anyone to the fact that her child was missing for nearly 30 days? How does a jury get past that fact and find her innocent? You know, what are your thoughts about that? Would that have to be explained to you?
Well, I think they had an opportunity to ask whatever questions, and it's been several years now, so I don't remember all the ins and outs of it. But I do remember the judge briefly. I saw this morning an interview with him, and if I'm not mistaken, I think he indicated that he kind of felt that dehydration or the child being locked in the car or whatever was part of the calls now, which is different than before. But to answer your original question of, asking what took her so long to report it, and I'm sure that question came up. I'm sure that, this is not something that we would just think about now. But I'm thinking that her response was either – she wasn't aware or someone else had the child or something like that. And I don't want to confuse the situations because, like I said, I'm not aware of what you guys discussed. And in that particular case, it's been a few years now.
It's been 5 years. Initially, she said she left the child at a babysitter, but she kept changing lie that she would tell. She at one point said she worked at Universal Studios. They found out she didn't work at Universal Studios, and so she continued to tell lies. And that's my point. As a jurist, I don't believe that I could have found this woman not guilty when she had been caught in so many lies about where her child was and that her grandmother was the only person who initially called the police in search of finding her grandchild.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm sure that, that was part of the jurors' deliberation, and obviously they received an answer that was sufficient for them. So I don't know what else more we could do or say.
Well, let me ask you this question. What are your thoughts about the trial that's coming up now with the former chief of police who shot the movie patron, and he said he was in fear for his life? And he's using, again, this stand your ground law that determined is just a law used for them to shoot us.
Yeah, I think that, that's being heard now, I think. And I knew that it was going to be stand your ground from the very beginning. So we just have to kind of watch and see what happens.
All right, guys, we're going to take another break, and then after this break, we're going to have everybody give us their final thoughts. And let your final thoughts be anything that you want to say this evening related to any topic.
Just a thought. October 23rd, 2016, as spring opens the doors of love, one must be prepared to walk calmly and slowly through them. Being aware of all the obstacles that might distract one's focus. The human trait of being focused will keep one from losing track of what is required to obtain that which has no equal value. After God gave us all that we needed, He sought to give us one more thing. That which would enable us to reach beyond the barriers that keeps us from reaching the impossible. The one thing that makes our vision perfectly clear and able to see that which is invisible to all others. Life has no greater meaning if we refuse to discover that which belongs to us as an individual. It was made and placed in the universe for our inspection. Once discovered, it can be cast aside by doubts of its true value. But once discovered, nothing will replace its effect on one's existence. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in 657-383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, www.jamestdeshay.com. Call into the show that allows your voice to be heard loud and clear.
I am Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we all should have. I see the inequality of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those that fight for the status quo cling to an error that turns invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My views of the world are in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and my fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. Host James C. Deshay, show Thoughts, Love, and Reflections. The show is live 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in 657 383-0309. We can no longer reside in the shadow of life. It is a must that we be out front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Please visit this site, www.jamescdeshay.com.
This is James C. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to go to Joyce first. Joyce, what is your final word for today?
Well, my final word is just like cream always rises to the top, the truth will always prevail. That's my final word.
All right, Audrey in California, what's your final thought for today?
We would like to hope that the truth would prevail, but I still think that there are those we would like to hope that truth will prevail, but I still think pigmentation plays a large part in a lot of the decisions, depending upon who you are. That's my final.
Audrey, let me ask you this question. Why in the world do you think it is that someone 30 years of age has that kind of mentality that this woman has when she's been when a different world has been available to her? Now, we know the world that you lived in, and we know the world that I've lived in, but why is this woman so bent on being so racist at such a young age?
You know what? My neighbor, I thought about it. And I talked to a friend of mine who's a psychiatrist. He said she's either racist or she's ignorant. Now, her parents are younger than I am. So I'm thinking that with her knowledge of my race, she wasn't taught. So then do I say she's ignorant and her parents are racist because they didn't teach her? Or maybe their parents didn't teach them. And it's just a circle that keeps going and going and going and going of people thinking that they're better than someone else.
But I guess my problem with that, Andre, is I am 56 years of age. I have every reason to be angry with white America. But I choose to set aside my anger and wish for the very best for our country. I don't think of them as white devils. I don't think of them as evil forces. I try to get beyond the history that shows some of their behavior, and I certainly don't put it on their young people or younger people than me. I mean, I would never think that Martin Luther King was assassinated because of the beliefs of some 30-year-old, that would be unfair. So why is it that we have been so willing, and I guess this goes back to what Dee's comment was about, we're such a gift for giving people, but yet they are not.
Yes, Newport News, Virginia.
Dee, what is your final thought for this evening?
The new Secretary of Housing and Urban Development this afternoon.
Well, James, I think what I'm preparing myself to do is to take Kathy's advice and stay hopeful and prayerful, because the fight is long. You know, we've heard from John Lewis and people from time past, who has always said that the struggle is not over. And sometimes, we get a little weary of the fight. You know, when you speak about the 30-year-old person that has chose the attitude of being racist,
in that way, I have to kind of like stand back and let nature and God take its course. And hopefully, and somewhere down the line, I have to believe that somewhere down the line, God will grab hold of her and change her heart. You know, and this is a stance that I have to take because, you know, I cannot forget, no matter how disenchanted that I might be with other persons in this world, I still have to remember that God showed grace and mercy upon my life. And so I can't go to bed at night and still be negative toward other people. I have to live the life that he has chosen me to live and gave me a new chance at life. And I have to always keep that out front. So I'm going to be hopeful and prayerful, and hopefully we'll see change come in my lifetime.
Cassie, I know you've been a little quiet today. Would you like to have a last word?
Praise the Lord, D. Praise the Lord.
Ain't that right?
Yeah. Well, while everyone was talking, I was asking the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you know, we go through these problems, we go through these situations, but we still overcome with you. So, what is it that I need to stand on during these times? Because when you're in a forum like this and you hear this, it does something to your spirit. It makes you begin to think about the things that's going on and how wrong it is. But the bottom line is that God is in control of everything. And his word says to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. So regardless of what someone else does to you, you got to pray and keep on going. Now, if they touch you, that's a different story. But people are going to say things about you. People are going to try to intimidate you. People are going to write notes and put them on your house, in front of your yard, on your car. But because they do not know the love of Christ, they are going to act in ignorance. But we have to take a different stance. And that stance is in Jesus Christ. And that's what I have to say. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, I'm going to make another introduction to you guys today. And I've made this in the past.
Huh?
We have Felicia that's from Boca Raton.
Matt.
We have Felicia with us who is from Boca. And I just want to tell her thank you for calling in. She has not yet spoken on the show on any regular basis, but I just want to let everyone know that she's there. So, Felicia, would you like to say anything to our callers today?
I just want to say hi to everyone.
Hi, Felicia.
All right. That's all we're going to get out of Felicia today. So we'll take that, and hopefully she'll want to talk later. I want to thank all of you for calling in and being so committed and dedicated to the show and willing to carry on. I want to leave you with this thought, though. I want all of you to have something on Friday. Let's make Fridays our day where we discuss whatever comes to mind or whatever anybody, you know, make Friday your day where you search to find out what statement you want to make to the group and see if the group comes up with something that we all want to discuss for the term of the show. You know, it's, you know, your opinions are so important to me, and I want your opinions to be heard about so many different subjects. So I want to solicit you on tomorrow to just pay attention to what's going on around your community, around your area, around the world even, that you would like to discuss tomorrow. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. And I want you to know that I look so happily and proudly to our next meeting, and that will be tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, for our opportunity to talk about the things that impact our world today and tomorrow. Please go to my website, www.jamestdeshay.com, and email me at djames82@aol.com about the kinds of things that you'd like to talk about on our show.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man, Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
Oh, no.